Good to see all of you here tonight, and we're going to continue what we did last Wednesday night. And I've had a lot of comments, a lot of people that were watching on the internet as far as dividing the New Testament and laying it out like we did last week. A lot of different comments about them. Never heard it put that way before. That cleared up so much for me, whatever. Okay? And you've got 27 books in the New Testament. And this is just introduction, and I'm going to try to show you how to take what we said last week and take your Bible and clear up some things, hopefully, tonight, and maybe it'll become clearer. Obviously, Genesis, let me do this. What do we have back here? We've got Genesis through Malachi. That's your Old Testament, obviously. And then you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And remember we said the majority of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is in the Old Testament. Even though Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, according to your Bible, the way it's laid out, it's in the New Testament. Doctrinally speaking, we learned last week that the New Testament does not start until the death of the testator, which places the majority of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Old Testament. And then you've got a little transition book, the book of Acts, which transitions you from Old Testament to New Testament, from law to grace, from Jew to the church, so on and so forth. And then you have 13 books, Romans through Philemon, that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church. To the church at Rome, to the church at Corinth, to the church at Thessalonica, to the church at Colossae, to the church of Philippi, so on and so forth. All of these are to churches. And then you obviously have the rapture of the church, and then we said Hebrews, Jewish again. You got church books, and then all of a sudden, rapture, you got Hebrews, Jews again. All the way through the book of the Revelation. And that's how your Bible is laid out. Now, with that introduction, we're going to start off real simple. We've got a lot of verses to deal with, so what I'm going to do, they're going to be up on the screen for you. And you'll be able to see it up there. If you got time to turn to them, that's great. If you got time to write them down, that's wonderful. If not, we're recording and you can go back and look. Obviously, our main verse is 2 Timothy 2:15. Study, that's what we're doing on Wednesday night, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly, what we just did, we were rightly dividing the Bible. Now, with that in mind, let me find the first verse we want to go to. And let's look, let's see. Let's look at this. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 8. Exodus 20 and verse number 8, and this is what the Bible says. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Y'all know what the Sabbath day is, right? It's a Saturday. Saturday is the Sabbath. Sunday, and sometimes, you know, I know we say we go to church on the Sabbath. Well, really, we don't. The Sabbath is on Saturday. But in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 8, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Okay? All right, watch this. Exodus 31 verse 15 says this. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Now watch this. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Uh-oh. How many of y'all worked this last Saturday? Anybody mow your yard last Saturday? Anybody pick up sticks last Saturday? Roger probably come down here and did something down here at the church. And I mean, that's got to be put to death. According to Exodus 31:15. Do y'all see that? Do you see how you can take the Bible and really mess somebody up? Now, when I said Exodus 31:15, your mind, where were we reading? back here. And he was talking to Jewish people. All right? Now, let's look at something else. John 20 and verse number 19. John 20 and verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." This is, now, John 20. Does anybody know where we're at? John 20. Now, let me look. We got to make sure. In John 20, if I'm not mistaken, Jesus arose in verse 1. He's already been crucified, right? So John 20 is on this side. So we are in the New Testament in John 20, right? Verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. What's the first day of the week? Sunday. Disciples were what? Assembled together. What are we doing tonight? Assembled together. What are we going to do this coming first day of the week? We're going to assemble together. Came Jesus, stood in the midst, said unto them, "Peace be unto you." See? See the difference? Exodus over here says, honor the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Talking to Jews. John 20, New Testament, they assembled together on the first day of the week. Does that make sense? Does that clear it up? You see how... Did you know there's a group of people that meet on Saturday because of Exodus chapter 20? It's a matter of not rightly dividing the Bible. Now, I'm going to give you another one. I'll give you another one. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. That was a long sermon. He preached all the way till midnight on the first day of the week. Aren't y'all glad we don't do that? That's New Testament. Acts 20. Watch this one. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Now this is why I'm going fast, is so we can get a lot of these in. 1 Corinthians 16:2, upon the first day of the week, that's Sunday, let every one of you lay by him in store. Have God has prospered him, there be no gatherings when I come. You know what we do? First day of the week, we gather, we take up, we have the ushers come, and we receive an offering. When? On the first day of the week. Why? That's when you're supposed to assemble together. You see the difference? Where's 1 Corinthians at? You see that? Okay. So, I hope that helped. Now, watch this one. Let's do something different. Leviticus chapter 11. Now, when I say Leviticus chapter 11, where are we at? Leviticus chapter 11. Verse 5, he says this. And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. Okay? And the hare. Because he cheweth the cud. Now that coney and the hare, they're very similar. The hare we obviously know was a rabbit. And that coney is, I looked it up in the Webster's 1828, and it's very similar, some type of animal similar to a rabbit. And the hare, because he cheweth the cud. Anybody know what chewing the cud is? Anybody understand it? The old folks remember that. Chewing the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. Okay? All right, verse seven. And the swine, you know what that is? Pig, pork, bacon, sausage. Though he divideth the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean unto you. And we can't eat nothing. Verse number 8, of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass ye shall ye not touch. They are unclean to you. Did you know that I could get up this coming Sunday morning and preach Leviticus chapter number 11 and say, and boy, I'm telling you what, we could, I mean, really mess up the whole service, could we not? There's parts in the Bible that says we can't eat rabbit, we can't eat pork. Those are unclean animals. Ain't that something? Back here, was we reading back here? Okay, all right, watch this. Now, let's look. Now, this is a wonderful story. If you haven't read this story in its entirety, it's a great story. One of my favorites. Acts 10, verse 11, Peter. Okay, we're over here. Acts chapter number 10. We're definitely in the New Testament, right? And this is breaking into context. And saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners. Okay, this is Peter. Four corners down to the earth. Okay, and then verse 12. Wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Watch what Peter says. Because Peter is still, in his mind, he's still under Leviticus. He still practices Leviticus. Watch what the Lord tells him. But Peter said, "Not so, Lord. I ain't eating anything in there. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Y'all see that? Why? Peter's a Jew, and he's practicing Leviticus chapter 11. Right? Okay. Let's see what he says. "And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." Do you see? There's a change that has happened. All right? Let me give you one better than that one. Even if you're looking for one even better than that one. First Timothy. Oh, we're way over here now. First Timothy 4:4. "For every creature of God is what? Good. And nothing to be refused." Somebody ought to be getting excited over that. "If there is a condition, if it be received with what? Thanksgiving." Now, the next verse says, "For it is sanctified by the word of God and what?" You know why we bless our food? It don't matter if it's pig, rabbit stew, rabbit and dumplings, squirrel dumplings. Man, that's good stuff. Anything. If you're just so inclined to have some chitlins, help yourself. Just don't call me. But if you want to have some, get you a plate of them, bow your head, say, "Lord, I pray right now you'd bless this food and the nourishment of our bodies, and receive it with thanksgiving and eat it." If you can. I'm hoping you're starting to see, I'm trying to make some of it a little comical, but I'm hoping right now you're starting to see rightly dividing the word. Old Testament, they were going to church on Saturday. Why don't we do that today? Because you've got to rightly divide the Bible and get where you're supposed to be at. Old Testament, you couldn't eat pork, rabbit, anything that chewed the cud, all of that. Well, over here, 1 Timothy, Paul wrote to the who? The church, and said, "Bow your head, pray over it, be received with thanksgiving, kill it and eat it." I changed that verse. Kill it and grill it. Woo! All right. So I hope by now you're seeing a little bit of this. Okay. Now let's look at something else. Let's go into another area. Exodus 21. When I said Exodus 21, your mind automatically went where? All right. Watch. Exodus 21. "And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot." Y'all see that? "Burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe." Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. How many of y'all ever heard that? Okay, watch. That's right over here. Now, let's see what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew 5, okay, Matthew, now when I said Matthew 5, think before you say, Matthew 5, Jesus hadn't died yet, right? So Matthew 5 is still in the Old Testament. Matthew 5, Jesus said this, "Ye have heard that it hath been said." Jesus is just a quote, what we just read. an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. Jesus said that. But I say unto you, Jesus began to change it. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now that's different, ain't it? Amen. Old Testament says eye for an eye. You slap me, I slap you. Amen. You know? Jesus says, now I know you've heard that, but I'm telling you, somebody smites you on the cheek, turn to them the other one also. Boy, I hope we can find some more verses. That's tough. All right, let's see. Let me read this one. Romans 12. You know where we're at in Romans? Romans 12, where are we at now? New Testament, right? Verse 17 of chapter 12 of Romans. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Now, some of you are looking at me going, man, that guy, he can't read. Well, I can see far. I can't see close up. So when I'm looking right here, I have to have these. To there, I see it just fine. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Then the next verse says, if it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. Amen. You see what Paul said? Now, watch. Old Testament, eye for an eye. You slap me, I slap you. Jesus says, now I know you've heard it said that. That's in the Old Testament. But I say unto you, if someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him the other also. And then Paul says over here, if it be possible, my favorite phrase, if it be possible, live peaceably with all men. As much as life in you. Now, let me say this. I'm not getting in on the gun control and all of that. I'm not talking about that, even though your mind's probably going to want to go there. I was on the Frankie Lack show one time, and we were talking about guns, and is it right to even, you know, Jesus told his disciples, buy a sword. What did he tell them buy a sword for? Just to play in the backyard? It wasn't a toy sword. He said, buy a sword, sell it not. You're going to need it. Anyway, this fella called in, and he was saying something about, you know, the Bible says thou shalt not kill and all that stuff. And it does say thou shalt not kill, right? It does say thou shalt not kill. One of the Ten Commandments says thou shalt not kill. But then shortly after that, God tells David, kill Goliath. Which tells me, if you're going to rightly divide the Bible, there is a right way to divide it. Thou shalt not kill. If you don't have a reason, you shouldn't be killing. Don't kill babies. And don't kill anybody for no reason. But God approved David killing Goliath because he needed it. Okay. So the guy calls in. He says, let's not kill. I ask him this question. This is what I asked him. I said, okay. I said, you got a family? He said, yeah, I got a wife, kids. I said, okay, somebody breaks in your house tonight with a gun, and he has it pointed at your family. God forbid, but he shoots one of your family members. What do you do? And he said, this is what he said. He said, I do what Jesus said to do, and I turn the other cheek. Now, y'all forgive me. Now, if y'all want to fire me later, that'll be totally fine. But I called the guy an idiot on the radio. Amen. Why? Because Romans 12 says, if it be possible. There are some instances when it's not possible. You're going to try your best. We are to try our best. According to that Bible, try our best to live peaceably with all men. Do your best. But there are some instances where it's not possible. And you've got to take action. And Paul gives us that okay. You see that? That's how you rightly divide the Bible. Eye for an eye. Jesus says, turn the other cheek. Paul says, if it be possible, as much as life in you, do the best you can. Live peacefully with all men. But if not, does that make sense? Now, here's what I'll stop and ask you. Do you see how the Bible says different things? That's why you just can't just open the Bible and say, all right, Lord, I'm going to do whatever the next verse says. You better be careful with that. You better know where you're at and who's he talking to and what's he talking about. Right? Okay. Now, let's look at something else. Are y'all enjoying this? Okay. Now, let's look at something else. Let me look at... here's a good one. Matthew 5. Here's another subject. Matthew 5. When I said Matthew 5, Jesus hadn't died yet, so in Matthew 5, we are in the Old Testament. Okay. Matthew 5. Here it is. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Y'all see that? You know what Matthew 5 said? Jesus said, hey, somebody wants to borrow $20, give it to them. Don't turn him away. Anybody you see at the four-way stop, and they got the little sign up, look, I'm not making fun. I'm saying some people have fallen on hard times. I got it. I understand that. But they got a little sign held up. And so every one of them you pass, you got to stop and give. Matthew 5. I'll preach on it Sunday. Matthew 5. Everybody, find every person that's got a sign up asking for a handout. You have to give to them. Turn not thou away. Is that what Matthew 5 says? I hope we can find another verse. We're going to be broke. We sure are. When I pastored it at Holy Hills, there on the main, it was on the main highway, and we don't have much of it here because out in the country like this. But you'll still get some calls on the phone about it. You know, people call and say, "Hey, can you help get my lights turned on? Or can you, I got a prescription I need filled. This, that, and the other, whatever. All kind of stuff that calls, and that's fine. We understand people." Hard situations but out there, man, it was all the time. It was like every other day somebody was knocking on the door, coming in and saying, hey, we need this, that, and the other. Had one fella come in and he said, hey, I've got a prescription, my baby needs this medicine, I don't have the money for it, and we need it, and my baby needs it. I said, that's fine. I said, have you got the prescription with you? He said, no, I left it home. I said, go get the prescription, bring it back here, and me and you are going to go to Walmart, and we're going to get it filled. That's been 8 years ago. He left to go get it, and I ain't seen him since. Now, let's look at this verse. Y'all ready? 2 Thessalonians, where are we at? Definitely over here in the church, right? 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even when we were with you, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither shall he eat. Y'all see that? Now, which one are we going to do? We're going to give everybody that asks us for $20? Are we going to practice 2 Thessalonians 3:10? Hey, you 20? All right. What, could you cut my grass for me? Oh, no, I can't do that. You see, folks, the Bible's real plain. Real simple. Now, I know there are some folks that cannot work, and we've got... A system set up for that, and I understand that, and people have abused it, right? There are people that need it, and there are people that getting it and don't need it, and it's hindering folks that need it from getting it. But we're not talking about the government system. I'm talking about the Bible's what system. Same situation. Had a fellow come one time and he needed, you know, $100, whatever it was, for whatever reason, to get to Memphis or drive to whatever, this, that, and the other. And we had just so happened needed some, I forgot what it was. It was either the windows, something. And I said, hey, can you help us with that? And we'll give you what you need. It wouldn't work. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. It won't work. Now, some of you are looking at me going, now that's mean. And I'm going by the Bible. I'm going by the Bible. We're living in, and look, I don't know about you. Political views don't make any difference. I'm not for socialism. I'm not for just free handouts to everybody, free health care, free insurance, free whatever, free housing, free cell phones. That's about stupid. And we're how many trillion dollars in debt right now? Anyway, that's another sermon. All right. We'll have time for that. You do not have to agree with that. Now, there are people that have, every time they, Whitney's like that, every time she passes, well, she wants to give them $5, you know. That's fine. If that's what you want to do, help yourself. You pray about it, and the Lord will take care of it. You do whatever you need to do. That's totally fine. You give to who you feel like you need to give to. I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying here are the verses. Don't try to put Matthew 5 on me when I'm fixing to put 2 Thessalonians 3 on you. Well, preacher, I can't believe you didn't give him $20. Well, he wouldn't cut my grass. And he's a well-bodied. He wasn't in a wheelchair. I can understand if a man's in a wheelchair. Hey, there's some circumstances we can work around. Let me get off that subject. Because some of you are not liking that, I don't think. But it is Bible. All right, let's look at this one. Let's get off of that one. Let's look at this one. All right. Hey, see if this verse would bother you. See if this verse would bother you. Matthew 10. Matthew 10, where? Jesus hadn't died yet, so where we are? Okay. Matthew 10. Before the cross. These 12 Jesus sent forth, 12 disciples, and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. And into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Now wait a minute, Jesus. You just told the disciples, do not go knock on my door. That bothers me. That's what he said. He told the disciples, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I just got left out. You just got left out. Does that verse bother you? And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, in Matthew 10, that top line is in view. Remember? Matthew 10, Jesus hadn't died yet. They don't understand. And they're trying to bring thy kingdom come. And you can't bring in a Jewish kingdom with a bunch of Gentiles. So Jesus says, hey, don't worry about the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, guess what? They crucified the Messiah. All right, let's look. Y'all remember us reading this verse in Acts 28? Y'all know where we're at in Acts 28? Boom, we're over here, right? New Testament, Acts 28. For the heart of this people, the Jews, were waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Notice, be it known therefore unto you, Paul said this, that the salvation of God is sent unto the... and that they will hear it. See, Matthew 10, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Just go knock on the Jews' doors. and try to evangelize them. Well, Jews killed the Messiah, which opened the door for us. Acts 28, Paul says, man, them Jews are blind, can't see. They don't understand. They crucified the one that was coming to deliver them. Paul says, I'm going to the Gentiles. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. Let me give you another verse. Ready? Romans. Where are we at in Romans? Definitely right here. This is what Paul said. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the what? Jew first, and also to the... Ain't that something? To the Jew first, and then to me. I hope that helps. So now Matthew 10 don't bother me like it used to. I know now why he said don't go to Gentile. Go to the lost sheep's house of Israel. Because I know Acts 28's coming. I know Romans 1's coming. You see. I'll give you, for this verse, just a little more in-depth for those of you that may be looking for a little more meat to chew on. Romans 1:16, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In John chapter 3, Jesus went to Nicodemus first in John 3. He's a Jew. John 4, he went to the woman at the well, Samaritan, the Greek. To the Jew first, and then, y'all see that? Man, that's good. Hallelujah. Well, glory. All right, let me give you one more. Y'all are not in a hurry, are you? Let me give you one more. We got time for one more. Now, this one will bother you if you don't know how to rightly divide it. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 14. Here's the story of, y'all remember a fellow by the name of Saul, right? And the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Y'all ever, that ever bothered you? It bothered. Used to. Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. 1 Samuel, where are we at? Over here. Let me give you another one. I'm going to try to find it. I think it's in Judges. Hang on. Judges, where'd Judges go? It's before 1 Samuel. And I think it's 16. Judges, hang on, let me look. The story of Samson. Y'all remember the story of Samson? And verse number 20. I don't have this one on the screen. If you're watching at home, I don't have this on the screen. Judges 16 and verse 20. And they've already cut Samson's hair and all of that. The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep, said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. The Lord was gone. You know what? Psalm, I don't think I got this one on there, but anyway, Psalm 51 says this. King David said this. Let's see, 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Those verses ought to bother you. If the Holy Spirit can be taken from you, isn't that something? Now, all right, let me explain this. This is the last one we'll do before we go, and I hope this has helped. All right, in the Old Testament where we're reading, the Holy Spirit has not come, right? Holy Spirit don't show up till Acts 2. So in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit did something totally different. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come down and come upon somebody for a certain task. Samson, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. and he slew the Philistine. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he went out and slew the whatever. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him, whatever. And what the Holy Spirit did in the Old Testament was come down and go back up. He'd come down and go back up. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit did not live on the inside of anybody. He would just come up on them for a certain task and then leave. He'd come up on them, they would do whatever, and he would go. Okay? All right? You say, you got a verse? Can you prove that? Yes. I'm glad you asked. In John 14, 16 and 17. Now, we're still in Old Testament, but watch this. John 14, Jesus hadn't died yet, so we're in Old Testament, but watch. Jesus said, and I pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Comforter is capitalized because he's talking about the Holy Spirit. That he may abide with you. He may abide with you forever. Watch verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him not, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Amen. Now watch. John 14, Old Testament, right? Jesus says he dwelleth with you right now. Come and go. Come and go. He's with you. But there's coming a day when he shall be in you. So Old Testament, he wasn't in them, he was with them. Y'all get the difference? Now, let me go on further. 1 Corinthians 16. Boy, I know I'm right here now. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? You see how the Bible's easy to understand? Once you get it laid out properly. Now here's another one. Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Old Testament, the Holy Spirit could have departed from Samson, David, Saul, whatever. Right? Now, ready? In the church period, the time we're living in, the Holy Spirit cannot depart from you. Isn't that good? You need another verse? Okay, I'll give you another. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until when? The day of redemption. Hallelujah. Now, that was the last one I'm going to do. Does that clear up some things? You see how the Bible can say things different. Now you understand how, and I'm not, look, when I say this, everybody goes, well, Brother Jeremy thinks he's the only one right. I don't. There's a lot of stuff I ain't got figured out yet. But here's what I have gotten figured out. This is the reason you have so many beliefs, so many this, and people say that, and, well, I got a Bible verse for it. They may have, but where's it at? I got a Bible verse that we're supposed to go to church on Saturday. Guess what? It's in there. But where's it at? You see? Once you get it laid out properly in the proper order, it'll help you study the Bible tremendously, a whole lot better. Right? All right.